خلق الإنسان من طين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة العالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله، أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is none to guide aright. So before we begin our khutbah, inshallah, I would like to make dua for our brother Yusuf. When you see the flowers as you come in and the roses in the front yard and in the back, this is all because of brother Yusuf. He has been taking care of the roses and the flowers. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him barakah, to give him a good health and a long and healthy life. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So over the last few khutbahs, we have been talking about the concept of marriage and the expectations in the marriage, and what constitutes a successful marriage in Islam. So today, inshallah, I will talk about what you should look for in the marriage. As I mentioned before, the Prophet ﷺ said, look for someone who has the deen. So we mentioned in the last khutbah that people get married for different reasons. So people look for beauty, people look for money, people look for status, and people look for the deen, someone who is practicing the deen. Some people marry for the right reasons, and some people marry for the wrong reasons. And especially living in Canada here, I've seen some cases where someone would get married just because they want to get their citizenship. Then once they get the citizenship, talaq, and they leave the person. So they marry for the wrong reason. So inshallah, we'll focus more today, inshallah, about why marrying a person, sahib al-deen, will make your life easy. تكلمنا في الخطب الماضية عن الزواج وأنه نعمة من الله سبحانه وتعالى، والله سبحانه وتعالى عد الزواج من النعم في سورة الروم، ومن آياته كذا ومن آياته كذا في سورة الروم، خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم، وعد الزواج من النعم، ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا إلى آخر ذلك في سورة الروم. وذكرنا أن الإنسان إذا أراد الزواج لابد أن يكون الدين موجود في العلاقة. يعني ما في دعم، يعني ما في إشكال إن الإنسان يبحث مثلا عن إنسانة جميلة أو رجل مثلا من أسرة كريمة إلى آخره، ولكن الدين يكون حجر الزاوية في العلاقة. فاليوم إن شاء الله هنركز عن يعني إذا اخترت صاحب الدين أو صاحبة الدين كيفها، يعني أن هذا ينعكس عليك وعلى الأسرة. So before I give the details, inshallah, usually when people look for someone to get married, we classify them into two different groups. يعني في المستعجل, someone who just wants to get married, they don't have any expectations in the marriage, so they just want to get married for the good reason or the wrong reason. But there are some people who are very picky and they set the standards very high. They take so much time and they set the standards so high, and subhanAllah, before they know it, they hit 40 or 45 and they are not married yet, because the standards they set are so high. And I see people firsthand, they come to me and they're looking for someone to marry. Okay, so what are your expectations in the marriage? Yeah, inshallah, I'm looking for a sister who has yani masters from Al-Azhar in Islamic studies, who has ijazah in Hafs an Asim and Wash, and she knows 2,000 to 5,000 hadith. And come on, man. You have to be practical, you know? You're not looking for someone to marry, you're looking for a prophet, min al-anbiya, right? So you have to be practical when you look for someone to get married. I'm being very practical here, right? And if you, because I face the problem all the time when people come to look for someone to marry. The person himself is not practicing, they don't pray, and when they come to me, oh, I want someone like Fatima radiallahu anha. MashaAllah, qawamat al-layl, sawamat al-nahar, you know, she fasts all the time and she prays. And if you're looking for someone like Fatima radiallahu anha, you yourself have to be like Ali radiallahu anha. You have to be as good. Again, I'm being practical here, right? And even families, they know that their son is a loser. He doesn't pray, he smokes, he's this, he's that. And when they come looking for someone, you know, for the daughter, for the son, they look for the best. Wallahi, this is not fair. Yeah, and when you look for someone who is the best for your son, although you know that he is a sucker, he is a loser, right? So you have to be practical here. There is nothing wrong if you look for someone who can lift you up, not push you down. But you have to be fair. Again, if you're looking for someone who is practicing, you yourself has to be good, and you yourself have to be practicing the religion, right? So why do people get married? So we spoke about the wrong reasons, the money, this, that, and we spoke about the citizenship and so on and so forth. We know in Islam, when you get married, you complete يعني, the second half of your faith. And حتى there are some athar from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that suggest that when you get married, you complete the second half of your faith, or you fulfill the second half of your religious obligations. And the ulama, when they explain this, يقولون يعني الزواج نصف الدين, يقولون because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in the hadith, there are two things that if you guarantee, I will guarantee Jannah for you. لسانك وفرجك. If you guarantee your mouth and your private parts, that you will not do anything haram with your private parts, or you will not say anything haram, like shahada to zur or kalib and so on and so forth, I guarantee Jannah for you. So marriage takes half, you know, al-iffa and chastity and so on and so forth. So this is protected. The second half is taking care of your mouth. You don't say what is haram, you don't cheat, you don't lie, and so on and so forth. So this explains why the Prophet ﷺ says, if you get married, you complete the second half of your faith. We have this common saying, at least in my village in Egypt, if you marry one, you complete the second half of your faith. If you marry two, you lose all your faith. So you're not doing yourself a favor. So when you get married, you complete your faith, you find someone that you can find comfort in, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rum, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, that you can find comfort in them. You're working all day long, two, three jobs, and running here and there, and getting your PhD and doing that and this. Now you need someone to look after you, to take care of you. Someone you can find comfort in, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Someone who can help you get closer to Allah. Someone who can remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm talking about men and women here. So someone who brings you closer to Allah, someone who reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they see you, they say, okay, did you pray the Dhuhr? Okay, let's go to the masjid. Make sure you give your zakah. They remind you all the time of Allah, right? So there is this positive energy in the house. Let's go pray Taraweeh. Let's go do Hajj, inshallah. We have enough money. So they remind you of Allah. They bring you closer to Allah. There is this positive energy in the house. There are some who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in a negative way. Say, for example, every time you see them, you say, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. So they remind you of Allah, but in a negative way. You make dua against them. Or you are always, they help you go to the masjid for i'tikaf, but just to take shelter. Or salatul rahim, you go to your mom's house all the time to take shelter there, because you can't stay in your house, right? So this is not positive, this is negative. So they always remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they bring you closer to Him. Dua al-salihin fi al-Qur'an, fi surah al-Furqan, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. So the salihun, the righteous, one of the great favors they always pray to Allah for is to give them spouses and children who are righteous, and they become the apple of their eyes, or the joy of their eyes. Because this is one of the greatest ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, when he talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him in dunya by giving him a good wife and good children, like Ismail and Ishaq. This is listed as one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look for someone who will be your biggest helper in dunya. حتى أن الله سبحانه وتعالى لما يتكلم عن الزوجة أو الزوجة في القرآن وصاحبته. So the wife is described in the Quran as صاحبة, companion in dunya and in akhirah, because she will accompany you, she will be your companion in dunya and akhirah. When I say this, that your wife will be in Jannah, some brothers are very disappointed. They say, oh man, I thought once I die I'll be free. No, she is going with you. So these are not my words, these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ. So in Jannah you will be with your parents, with your children, and with your spouse, your husband or your wife, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. So it's a lifetime relationship and commitment. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it, this commitment of marriage, وَأَخَذْنَا مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it a tremendous commitment. Tremendous. غَلِيظًا. So we have to keep these things in perspective when you look for marriage or you have a son or daughter who is getting married. Keep these things in your mind when you do that, inshallah. So very quickly, so if I look for someone with deen, someone who is practicing the faith, so how does that help me? هنتكلم عن ثلاثة أشياء. هنتكلم عن مسألة هيساعدك في الأولويات وهيساعدك في مسألة الحقوق والواجبات ومسألة الإخلاص. So I'm going to touch on three things, three benefits that you get from marrying someone who is practicing the deen. Number one, the priorities in the house will be put in order. And the rights and obligations will be fulfilled, and you will guarantee honesty. Because as I said before, if someone has fear of Allah, if someone has respect for Allah, they will have respect for you. And if someone does not have respect for Allah, they will have no respect for you. Zero respect for you. So with regards to the priorities, مسألة الأولويات, because as I said before, people always come to me for counseling before, you know, marriage and when they get married and when they come for talaq and so on and so forth. When you marry someone صاحب الدين, you don't have to worry about the priorities. الأولويات مرتبة, right? So for example, one brother came to me, he wanted to marry a lady, and she said, I will marry you but one condition, no kids. So, what kind of marriage is this? Like, you don't make such condition unless you have a serious medical condition, for example. But I don't like to have kids in the house, they will ruin my life, and so on and so forth, and my shape and figure, you know. You know, when I nurse them, I'm gonna lose my shape, and so on and so forth. This is nonsense. So you don't have to worry about this, you don't have to waste your time convincing your wife or your husband that having a kid or some kids in the house is a good idea. You don't have to talk about halal and haram in the house. You don't have to talk about riba. You don't have to talk about why salah is fard. Like, you ask them, okay, let's go pray or do this. Why? I mean, this would never be a question if you marry someone who knows halal and haram and someone who knows the priorities and awlawiyat in Islam. We know that when you marry someone for the right reason and they have the good adab and the akhlaq al-Islam and they are practicing, money is never an issue. Even if you are making very little, this should be enough, alhamdulillah. There's nothing wrong if you'd like to have a big house, a nice car, a big salary. There's nothing wrong. As we mentioned before, more than half of the 10 sahaba who got the news of Jannah, Mubashareen bil Jannah, they were millionaires. There's nothing wrong. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it tight for you, then the house will not collapse because you are there to help each other. So I hear stories, wallahi, people come to me, they are fighting on who will take child support to the point of divorce. This is rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you. It should go to the fund that belongs to everyone in the house. You pay for the kids, you pay for education, food, shopping, everything. It's for everyone. Let's put it this way, it's for everyone. Oh, but I want to take it all, I want to keep it to myself. And so people fight over this. And people fight over money, and people try to live beyond their means. They force their spouse to buy a house that is beyond their needs and beyond their whatever they can afford. And this is why people have problems and issues in the house. When people materialize the marriage, and when marriage becomes materialistic, you expect that some terrible things will happen. One time, I remember I was invited to officiate in marriage. Not in Ontario, but somewhere else. So I went there. So, mashallah, the walima was big. Like, they invited everyone in town. Like, they had like 10,000 people there. They invited. And they spent so much money on food and expenses and this and that. And subhanAllah. So, I remember after a week, they called me. So I knew the brother, you know, the father of the groom, and you know, I said, okay, mashallah, is the other one getting married? He says, no, we have to look for the first one. I said, why? It has only been a week. I said, they disagreed on the expenses of the wedding, who is going to pay what? So they decided to separate, right? So the Prophet ﷺ says, if you know, if you're economical, you give what it takes, you do everything, you know, you do the basics, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would put barakah in there. But if you push people to the limit and you make them live beyond their means, or they do something they cannot afford, and you start your life by borrowing or, you know, asking people to give you money or taking money on riba from the bank, how can you start your life like this? So try to do the basics, and you grow with your wife, and you can buy the TV, you can buy whatever you want, right? But start simple, then you can grow together, alhamdulillah. So the priorities will be put in order. We start a good family, we love each other, we live together in this dunya, and after, inshallah, we go to Jannah together. The second thing, the rights and the obligations. You don't have to fight over your rights and obligations. Oftentimes, when people come for counseling, you know, they say that, you know, he takes his rights or she takes her rights, but when it comes to the obligations, they don't care. So Islam is all about fairness. You take your rights and you fulfill your obligations. It's not only about taking, you know, you have to give as well, right? So zawaj or marriage is about sharing, about caring. You know, we are into all of this together. So you have rights and you have obligations. And Islam is very fair. Islam gives rights, but you are also obliged to fulfill your obligations. I remember one time, this brother from Edmonton, you know, he said, you know, he came to complain. I said, what's the problem? He said, you know, I married this sister because, you know, I was, you know, desperate to come to Canada, and she helped with, you know, she sponsored me and I came here. But now she has no respect for me. One time I called her, and I said, you know, my parents are coming, coming over, to, you know, he sponsored his family later. He said his parents are coming to have dinner with us. And she said, honey, sorry, I'm in Toronto. Like he didn't know that she was traveling to Toronto, right? So he was calling her, okay, inshallah, tonight my parents are coming over. Oh, sorry, I'm in Toronto. I took a flight like 7 hours ago and I'm in Toronto now, I can't make it. When are you coming back? Oh, maybe in a week or so, you know? How can you start a family like this? So you have to keep each other in the loop, care about each other, take your rights and fulfill your obligations. It's about sharing and caring. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله ربه رحمه للعالمين. The third thing that is guaranteed when you marry someone صاحب الدين, they will be honest with you, right? If there is something that you need to know before marriage, they will tell you. They will not hide secrets from you. And I'm not asking people to say everything about yourself, because when we are young, in your teen years, we do foolish things, stupid things, and so you don't have to talk about all the details. As long as you mended your ways, everything is good, alhamdulillah. Like at some point in your life, if you were young, 14, 15, 16, you didn't pray, or you didn't fast properly, or whatever. So you don't have to tell him all that, because now you're 25, you have been praying regularly for 10 years, so you don't have to tell them all the details. Like, they don't have to know this. This is between you and Allah. But there are some certain things they need to know. You have to tell them. Oh, they will not know this. They will not know. How can they not know? Like, I remember one brother, he got married to a sister, and she was epileptic. كان عندها صرع. You know, and they didn't tell him. Like, she is epileptic and, you know, she has this medical condition, and they never told him, although she was going to the doctor for years, and she was on medication, and she wakes up in the middle of the night, and she keeps jumping from the bed to the chair, and you know, and so on and so forth. How can you hide something like this? You have to tell him up front. And the same thing, if a brother is autistic, you have to tell him. There is nothing wrong. They will appreciate your honesty if they would like to continue. Alhamdulillah, they love you, they care about you, but if they look for something else, you don't blame them, right? I mean, this is a test from Allah, but you have to be honest. If someone is has, you know, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, waswasiyam. So you have to tell them, you cannot hide something like this. Or someone has a heart problem, and they've been going in and out of the hospital for a long time. They need to know these things, right? So you need to be upfront, and you cannot hide these things from them. And you know, when you marry someone who's practicing the deen, they will be honest with you. If someone has, you know, an emotional problem, or a medical problem, or a psychological, you need to let them know. And so on and so forth. And they will be upfront with you, and they will be honest with you about what happens. They will not lie to you, they will not cheat you, because they have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm going to conclude with this story. Umm Salama radiallahu anha, lamma ta'ayyamat min Abi Salama, when her husband passed away, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to propose to Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She was not young. He married her to honor her husband and to take care of her kids. She had many kids. فقالت يا رسول الله القصة في ابن كثير وغيره فقالت يا رسول الله مثلك لا يرد يا رسول الله I cannot reject someone like you. You're so honorable, so respect, you know, so respected. I cannot reject you. But I have some issues that I'm dealing with. Okay, فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما هي قالت إني امرأة غيور. I'm so jealous. وأخاف يعني أن أفعل شيئا فيعذبني الله به. I'm afraid that if I do something that displeases you because of my jealousy, maybe I'll say something, I'll do something, and you will not be happy with me and Allah will punish me. And number two, I'm old. And so this means that maybe I'm not able to fulfill your obligations, right? To take care of you and help you and so on and so forth. وأنا ذات عيال. I have a lot of kids. And I don't want them to bother you and, you know, turn the house upside down and, you know. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَمَّا مَا ذَكَرْتِ مِنَ الْغَيْرَةِ فَأَدْعُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَنْ يُذْهِبَ عَنْكِ. I'm going to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your jealousy out. I'll make dua for you. And number two, you said you are old. I'm old too. So we'll help each other. We'll take care of each other. And number three, your kids are my kids. So she accepted and they got married. So she was very honest upfront with the Prophet ﷺ, and she told him about things that maybe they will bother him in the future, and the Prophet ﷺ appreciated this and he honored her and he married her. So we'll continue in the future, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. A couple of quick announcements, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, last Saturday we had the second Anatolian Motivation Conference and it was a success, alhamdulillah. We'd like to thank all the volunteers and the masjid for taking care of this event, and we'll have it next year, inshallah ta'ala. And finally, tomorrow, starting tomorrow, bi'idhnillah ta'ala, Saturday, we will resume the Anatolia Youth Program, 6:30 at Frank McKinney, for the youth, 12 years and up, boys and girls. We have a separate gym for the boys and a separate gym for the girls. So they will be there, inshallah, from 6:30 to 8:30. So tomorrow, 6:30 at Frank McKinney, the youth program, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come, and give us sincerity in everything we say and do. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ.